It's now time for the MLB.com Cut 4 Cast. Cut 4 Cast. The Cut 4 Cast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut 4 Cast. Dakota is in Disney World, so you are hearing my voice. I'm Gemma. I'm here, as always, not enjoying the sunny Florida weather with Ian K, Cut 4 Czar, and also not in Florida.
Sitting in Dakota's seat.
Yeah. How do you feel? Do you feel like you're in charge of the Cut 4 Cast now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Well, do you have any new tyrannical rules to impose for this week of time? No? Oh,
nope.
That's great.
Benevolent dictator now.
Good, good. I think that's probably the way to go. We also have with us Michael Clare, senior LA and ghost correspondent. How are the ghosts?
Listen, as we said before we started recording, there was a smear campaign against physical mediums from the early 20th century, and I'm tired of it.
All right. I've learned too much about the ghosts already in that one sentence. I feel like I'm all caught up on ghosts. How are you guys doing? How do you feel now that baseball is kind of back?
I feel kind of good about it.
I say kind of because for the most part, it's pitchers and catchers only. Some position players are starting to report, but they haven't really trickled in yet. It's just guys catching up with their – I assume pitchers and catchers are best friends on every team, so they're probably just hanging out.
It is good to see all of them again, even if they're not really doing anything yet.
I feel like it's December 1st, and you're like, oh, yeah, I love Christmas music. And then it's December 2nd, and you're like, I hate Christmas music until it's actually Christmas. So, like, that first day is like, oh, my God, it's back. And now we're to that point where it's like, all right, we got what, 10-15 days until they start playing. Like, let's get through that.
I mean, yes, it'll be a little bit more interesting once we see rosters actually reporting and maybe some guys we're not expecting to show up, et cetera, et cetera. But my question to you guys is, which team are you most excited to see now that the offseason is over? Who has the most interesting new acquisitions? Who do you think is going to have the best reunion? I don't know. However you are excited about it, how are you excited, Ian?
Well, I think it's a few players I'm definitely excited to see. Mostly the ones that everybody hated on all offseason. Like, this time of year, everyone's writing, like, best moves and worst moves lists. And universally, the Ian Desmond contract with Colorado is named as, like, one of the worst moves of the offseason. And it very well might be. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of money for Ian Desmond. But I'm kind of, like, hoping that he just hits 40 home runs in Coors Field and, like, justifies it. So I'm excited for that. I think Lucas Giolito kind of falls in the same boat in that everyone was like, oh, his stock is down. He's not really as good as all those prospect rankings said he was. Like, his fastball is straight. That may all be true. Like, he may not be good, but he might still be. Like, he was the number one pitching prospect for a while. So excited to see him in Chicago, hopefully prove all the haters wrong.
Yeah, I'm also excited to see the White Sox because they definitely had a very active offseason, probably gave us like the most fodder for offseason speculation. Now they have Yoan Moncada, they have Lucas Giolito. They got just a handful of top prospects, and I really hope that they just come out of spring training looking like a runaway pick that we can all just pin our crazy hopes on for April until it all falls apart. Inevitably, it all falls apart. But I still think that's going to be fun to see what that's like and to see how everyone gets along with each other.
I think they could be fun for next month, too, because they have some moves they could still make.
Yeah.
Some other guys going out.
And Todd Frazier proved during FanFest that he is perhaps, like, the most personable and, like, charming player that nobody sort of talks about in that way. There was that, like, 10-minute video where they were interviewing a bunch of players. And we did a post on it. And listen, they were all interesting. But, like, Todd Frazier stole the show. Every answer was either, like, charming or hilarious or, like, a great insight into who he was.
You just like him because he said he believes in and is afraid of ghosts.
He didn't say he believed in. He just said he's afraid of everything.
And alligators. He's afraid of a lot of stuff.
He's also afraid of everything. I feel a kinship there.
Well, who are you most excited to see in spring training? Which team is getting you really excited?
So, yeah, until just a few days ago, I was like, oh, my God, who is the team that's going to, like, steal my heart? Like, last year, I was all excited about everyone for the Diamondbacks. This year, I am so into the Brewers. Like, if you want a team that is just, like, high beta, like, everything could click. Everyone has amazing seasons, and they shock everyone and win 90-something games. Or every player that they like were like 50-50 chance, but they could win like 60 games. But you've got you know, VR, can he have another great year? Domingo Santana hits the ball harder than, like, anybody else. Orlando Arcia at shortstop is fantastic. Jesus Aguilar hit 30 home runs in AAA last year. What is Eric Thames or Thames going to do now that he's here from the KBO? Keon Broxton, and I'm going to talk about him a little bit, so I'm not going to say too much. But everyone's exciting, and their prospects are exciting. Lewis Brinson, Brett Phillips' weird laugh, and then Josh Hader. Here's the question. When we eventually write a Josh Hader post, because he's got the great long hair and he's a prospect, do we go with the he hated me joke going XFL, or do we go haters to the left?
I feel like I've never, ever heard this degree of enthusiasm expressed for this team on this podcast. This is so – I mean, this is just like – this is real. I hope that you are proven right and something incredible happens. I hope that every at-bat that Eric Thames has at spring training is a home run. I really want that for you.
So listen, it's all good if it's also all busts. If everyone just has, like, hits their sort of, like, average Pecota projection, then it won't be that much fun. But if they either want, like, the 10% or the 90%.
So you need every single player on this team to wildly surpass expectations is what you're saying right now.
Wildly underperform.
Either way, you'll be happy.
Either way.
Okay. Well, I guess that's, you know, I guess that you've left yourself a lot of options there. But you said you were going to talk about another player, and let's talk about that. Let's talk about, you wrote an article, you can find it on MLB.com/cut4, about 7 unheralded players that we should be paying attention to. Do you want to talk about one of those players now?
So, I mean, there's a lot of players. That post was basically just like, here are all my favorite players to watch. And, you've got Matt Shoemaker.
Just a window into your mind.
Yeah, into my soul. And what was really sad is there are 2 players on my short list when I first came up with this idea earlier in the offseason that don't play in the majors anymore. Cole Figueroa, who was super into sabermetrics, and even, like, there's a cafe in Pittsburgh where you, like, put a note card on a bulletin board. I think I've told this story, like, 6 times on this podcast. It's my favorite. You put a note on a bulletin board, and it's like, you know, if you're left-handed, have a coffee on me. And, like, they prepaid for it. His was, if you love war, have a coffee on me. So
I feel like that could be misinterpreted by people who don't know what that is.
Yeah, probably. But he's now working in the Rays front office. Daeho Lee, who basically hit home runs and nothing else, because he was a pretty slow guy. Like, if it didn't go over the fence, it was a single. He's now back in the KBO. So that post has, like, a ton of my favorite players, but one I didn't put on there, and I'm kind of regretting now. So go read that if you want those guys. But Keon Broxton, last season he had the 8th highest average exit velocity, just behind Miguel Cabrera, and yet he also struck out 36% of the time, and in only 244 plate appearances, he stole 23 bases and hit 9 home runs. Like, he's an exciting defender. He's exciting on the bases. He's exciting at the plate. He hits the ball hard, or he just, like, whiffs. And I am so excited for Keon Broxton. He's, like, my favorite overlooked player not in that post.
So did you get a jersey yet?
Not yet. He's on my rankings, but I have to wait until
we need to have a whole separate podcast about your jersey power spreadsheet. That's just the most intense thing I've ever seen. But Ian, who are you? Who is your favorite underlooked player?
I have a couple. I think that
underlooked.
Okay.
Whatever. either way, I think
many,
it works.
There's many underlooked players.
I think underlooked means the same thing, though. You don't look enough, right?
Wow. Overlooked and underlooked. It could mean the same thing.
So I'm not even embarrassed that I made the slip of the tongue. I think it's fine.
My mind is blown.
That's what I'm here to do, you guys. Teach you new things about the English language.
I don't think that we talk enough about Nick Castellanos.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Tigers third baseman. He was a guy who was, like, a high draft pick, a super top prospect for, like, forever. He debuted really young. You know, he had some struggles. He played the outfield for a while. Then all of a sudden last year, it was only 110 games, but he hit .285. He had an on-base percentage over .330. He had 18 home runs. Like, this was the breakout. Maybe not like a full season. But I do kind of wonder if he's got another level of production yet to come. And I just don't see him talked about that much, even though he's right in the middle of the Tigers lineup.
This is so great because now I don't have to talk about Nick and sound like a huge homer because I wanted to. See, you know, it was
but
definitely.
Is he also your player?
He was going to be, but now I'll talk about Matt Shoemaker and Matt Duffy instead. It's fine. I mean, I was just like, oh, it's going to come off as just, I always talk about Detroit. The only thing I ever talk about on this podcast, and like Shakespeare and it's food, and it's very boring. But I mean, those are all things that I think Tigers fans in general paying attention to when he got injured and, you know, was out for so long. It was such a noticeable drop in production for the whole lineup without Nick. Plus he tells great stories, and I'm excited for him to come back and wear his weird, he wears weird sleeveless tank tops, cartoons. I like it. I just like his post-game interviews. I'll miss it. I'm glad he'll be back soon. But I did really appreciate, Claire, you including my birthday buddy, Matt Shoemaker, in your overlooked players post. We are not born in the same year, but we were born on the same day, and he is also from Michigan. So I do feel like seeing someone who's kind of underwhelming in the minors suddenly be so exciting to watch last year before he was injured. Every time I would tune in, be like, oh my God, 16 strikeouts, and I'd be so excited for him, just like waiting. So I hope that he can keep that up this coming year, and then also so that we can celebrate our birthday together.
Oh,
which is, you know, the most important thing. Two Michiganders just having a birthday party. Let's take a moment here to say, if you want to know who the stars of tomorrow are going to be, and then you can sound smarter than us when we pick our favorite underlooked, a word that I'm making famous now, players, you should check out MLB Pipeline Podcast. You can look at it, check it out on iTunes or wherever you find podcasts. It's hosted by Jim Callis, Jonathan Mayer, and Tim McMaster. This last week, they talked about the new rule that will be in some rookie leagues this year, which is starting a runner on second base in extra innings. And they talked about how people feel about that and how they think it's going to shake out. So give that a listen. I have a lot of feelings about that rule, but I will let them talk about it.
They had a lot of feelings, too.
Yes. Yes, as do we all. All right. All right. Now we have time. We need to talk about the most important issue in baseball right now. It's just the biggest piece of news, I think, that has ever been announced on the Cup Forecast.
Even bigger than runners on second base.
Even bigger than runners on second base. Well, more attributable, I think, to Cup 4 and the ethos of the Cup Forecast, which is Prince Fielder is going to have his own cooking show on Netflix and Hulu, and it is going to be called Fielder's Choice, which is great.
I just want to give a round of applause for whoever named that.
I mean, how can you not like that? He said that it will not just be baseball people. It's going to be a mix of baseball people, actors, musicians, chefs, and whatnot on the show. This is the concept. They bring out
Hopefully
different dishes.
You're included in whatnot.
Yes, right? And at the end of the show, he gives the one he likes the most a fielder's choice. So that sounds great.
What is a fielder's choice? Is it like you can have any of the dishes we prepared today, and the loser has to like eat one that was secretly filled with like paper?
I assume. Yeah, I guess he decides to get one person out. I don't know what happens.
I need a lot more information about this show.
I need to know everything about it. I also think that whoever had this idea obviously listens to this podcast, because I feel like all we do is talk about MLB players hosting cooking shows, like, all the time, always. So we all have to watch the show. There'll definitely be a recap probably on this podcast. Who do you guys think is going – who is what not? Who's going to be on this show? Who should be on this show? Since I know the producers are listening, we might as well give them our suggestions. Claire?
So, obviously, Lucas Giolito, because he actually loves to cook. If we're staying in baseball and not going to whatnot, Adrian Beltre and Elvis Andrews. I mean, they already have such great chemistry. Get them on there. And then if we're going to go with the whatnot, we need Anthony Bourdain to come on in and give us that, like, punk rock chef cool that he's got.
I mean, I also put Anthony Bourdain on my list just because I think that he eventually stops at every cooking show that there is.
Probably.
I'd like to see Ina Garten. I just want to see them hang out. I think that'd be nice. He should come on her show, though, and then he can be at the dinner party at the end.
Mary Berry? Is Marion?
That's a person.
Berry?
Yeah.
Mary Berry?
Hopefully there's a crossover with that Snoop Dogg, Martha Stewart,
yes,
fried chicken cook-off show, which is amazing.
It's so good.
It's on air? It's actually a thing?
Yes.
That's a real show.
It's
yeah,
so good. Every single minute of it is perfect. Who else should be on the show? Like, who else do you think should be on Prince Fielder's show?
Oh, I mean, I don't even know where to start. It should be like, they should have at least one representative from every MLB team, I feel like, should be on it.
There's should gotta it be like top, like Project Runway style, where it starts with 30 and it just narrows down as he decides who
yeah.
is the best?
Yeah. Okay. I think I'd support that.
I like that.
There's a lot of baseball players that I want to see cook.
I know. I don't understand why there isn't just an MLB spinoff of Chopped.
There should be.
If there's Chopped Junior, which I will not comment further on that, but if there's Chopped Junior, there should be MLB Chopped. That's how I feel about that. Do you have any specific like needs? Because I had Ina Garten for sure. I want us to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I think you and me, because you are Cut Four's food correspondent. And I did one time film myself cooking food for MLB in my kitchen. So I'm qualified to be on the show.
I feel like we are well qualified. And yeah. I would like to announce our candidacy for a Fielder's Choice Award.
Let us be on the show, Prince Fielder.
I want more baseball puns throughout. So, like, when someone kicks off, they're like, and you are the sacrifice bunt cake. And they, like, slice the bunt cake. And when you're given the slice of cake, you have to leave. When they're doing, like, a cake and they're icing it, it's the suicide squeeze. And, like, whoever squeezes the icing out slowest has to leave. You know, can of corn, they have to cook a corn dish but out of a can. Who can do that best? That's all I want.
This actually sounds really great. I think they should hire you to do some consulting for the show.
I hope it's like a serious cooking show and there's not too many gimmicks. Like a lot of these shows get like bogged down in like dumb gimmicks. And I hope that we can really see the cooking talent on display.
I think right now, to me, it kind of sounds like it is Chopped. Just none of the people who come on are professional chefs. They're just like Prince's cool friends. And there's only one judge and it's Prince.
Which pretty much is the show that I would create. Yes. If I was a retired baseball player.
Yes, I also love that. If I, yes, same. I'd just be like, great, I'm going to sit around and you guys are going to make me food.
Yep.
I'm going to eat it. And for some reason, people want to watch this.
Do we know when it debuts?
We do not yet know when it
debuts.
Spring, but it's supposed to be in the spring. He said around March, maybe, but there's no hard date yet. So the minute it does come out, we will definitely be talking about it here. So spring training has officially begun, which means that baseball is coming out of hibernation. So we have MLB.com's Nationals beat writer, Jamal Collier, who has kindly agreed to join us today and tell us what it's like down in Florida. Good morning. My most important question is, have you seen any alligators yet?
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me. No, I actively avoid any alligator areas. It's kind of not my scene. And I know they're kind of everywhere here in Florida, but not really going out and hunting for any of those.
Well, I feel like they might. I mean, what if Bryce Harper hits a BP home run into a swamp or something? Would you cover that? Is that important alligator journalism?
You know, well, the thing is, like, alligators kind of can run fast. That's one of the more underrated things about alligators. Like, you know, they're scary and they can. That's why, you know, I can't swim, so that's a whole issue as well. But, like, you know, average alligator, like, alligators can run as fast as, like, 25 miles an hour.
That's insane. I did not know that.
Yeah, so there you go before you go jumping into the swamp. But, you know, most of the bigger ones can only probably run about somewhere around 10 miles an hour. So the average, you know, fit human should be able to outrun a big alligator, a larger alligator. The problem is I'm still getting myself into shape here in spring training. So after all these Chipotle burritos, Shake Shack, I'm not sure I'm the average fit human.
Well, this is the most important fact for any of our listeners who are going to spring training. Obviously, you need to know how to outrun an alligator. It's clearly
exactly
the most
exactly.
important
that's,
spring
I think
training
that's part of the first couple of weeks are about.
Yeah,
getting
just
into shape
you
for
get,
alligators.
That's honestly probably what you should do at spring training, right?
Yeah.
Just like put some alligators
there. In Arizona,
there.
Snakes.
Yeah, snakes. Great. Good. Snakes. Yeah, that's also horrifying. So we did not have you on to talk about alligator safety, though it is important and everyone should pay attention. Mostly we want to know what your life is like as a beat writer at spring training. A lot of us don't really get to have that experience. So what I want to know is, like, what is it like to finally be back in the world of baseball? Does it feel like the first day of school? What's the atmosphere like?
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough. You come from the dead of winter up north, and you come down here, and it's like 80 degrees, sunny every day. You know, so you got to figure out exactly what clothing to wear, and that's just a whole tough thing.
Oh no, should I wear this tank top or a different tank top? What a
exactly, and how much sunscreen to put on? You know, it's a whole large ordeal. So. No, it really is first day of class kind of vibe, because there's so many people that coming back, and everybody's kind of it's the happiest time of the baseball season because everybody's so optimistic and everybody's in the best shape of their life. And they're talking about their off season. They're all, you know, coming off their trips in Mexico, wherever they've been, to relax. So it's nice in that regard. And again, you kind of see all people you may not have seen all off season or seen since, you know, somewhere around the winter fest or spring training or winter meetings, I should say. And then, of course, you're also meeting new people. And like with the Nats here, they don't have a whole lot of new faces, but, you know, a guy like Adam Eaton is kind of getting adjusted to everybody, or, you know, some of the spring training invites are coming in, and it's kind of new for everybody here as well, this new facility. We're all kind of navigating and getting lost and trying to figure out where the heck we're going together. So the first couple of days of spring training, and really the whole time here, is one of my favorite points because everybody's in such a pleasant mood coming off the off season and kind of ready to get going.
Yeah, anything can really happen. So does it have that similar like first day of school vibe with Adam Eaton or whatever? If he has to decide who he's going to talk to, like what clique he's going to be in, what is the atmosphere like with welcoming new people?
Yeah, well, somebody did a funny story, I remember maybe a couple of years back, about how do you figure out who to play catch with? That's actually one of the more interesting things for a guy who's new and you don't know who already has a partner, who doesn't have a partner, who exactly it ends up being. And that's kind of an interesting thing to figure out exactly those kind of things. So there are even for these you know, baseball players who make a whole lot more money than school kids, there's still kind of those awkward first interactions. As well, but yeah, it's you know, you're kind of just exactly trying to feel everybody out and put feelers out and see exactly who is into what or who's interested in what and who's living where, who wants to go fishing, who's trying to go hunting, who wants to just lay by the beach or go golfing or whatever. A lot of us, people just kind of go golfing around here when they get free time. Players will have to leave.
That's pretty nice, golf weather. I mean, I hope
yeah,
he has someone to sit with him at lunch. Like that's the most important thing.
You know what? Yeah, that's a good point too. You got all this. They got some brand new cafeterias, seats outside, and they've got a pool that's being installed in this new place too. So, a lot of activities around here. And again, those first couple of days when you kind of have all the time for the activities, for the games really get started.
That just sounds. It kind of sounds idyllic. You know, just making friends, having all these hopes and dreams. How different is it to talk to these guys, to talk to guys on the team, to talk to non-roster invitees in the locker room or around camp? How different is it from the regular season?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just, again, how more kind of relaxed everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at this point, like we talked, you know, everybody's optimistic, everybody is feeling good, or they've got these adjustments they plan on working on, and but things haven't gone wrong essentially yet for guys. So it's a much more, you know, and again, the weather's nice and everybody is you know, usually getting away from home or have their families with them, and kind of just it's a vacation, but it's also not. So I think just in that respect, you know, everybody is just, like I said, a little more relaxed, a lot of more chance to do more fun things and learn more about people. But yeah, I think that's probably the biggest change, that, you know, nothing, no one's in a slump just yet. No one's,
right.
You know, necessarily getting hit hard just yet. Everybody's betting 1,000 in batting cage.
So how do you decide what to cover? Like, what kind of stories stand out to you in the spring?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you know, there's obviously the rivals are the biggest guys, and you want to hear about what adjustments that Steven Strasburg or Bryce Harper or whatever they've kind of focused their offseason doing. I think once that stuff gets out of the way, you know, a lot of it kind of focuses on what exactly your team's biggest needs or biggest question marks may kind of be around. A lot of the coverage we'll probably have from that camp especially is going to be focused on what they're going to do with their bullpen and whether or not they have to still add to it, whether or not they are going to use somebody they have in-house to fish the ninth, who that's going to be, how that's going to go about it. You know, one of the things I like, again, is just how these guys kind of spend their free time or their downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And how they spent it during the offseason, if anything cool, anything interesting, anything fun, and if they plan on doing anything, you know, fun here. I think that's some of the stories that I most enjoy. And then, again, some of those friendships or those bonds are just some of the silly things that kind of happen during the spring. When there's, again, a lot more time and freedom for those things to kind of happen before you really get the grind of the regular season. So I think that's the biggest thing. It's a long 6 or 7 weeks that we'll be down here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there'll be things that'll develop or just kind of come out of the blue. And you kind of just have to be ready to adjust to any of them.
So who's been up to something strange or fun over the off season?
Ooh, I'm still trying to figure that out. For the most part, you know, a lot of guys either just kind of play winter ball or you know, kind of been doing something just kind of relaxing, trying to get their mind a little bit off baseball. The most interesting thing I've heard so far, Clint Robinson, I don't know if this even how interesting this is, but Clint Robinson's wife very early on broke both her wrists.
Oh, no.
He also has a young, so he had to kind of, you know, at that point you really can't do anything with your hands.
Right.
So, and also with a young daughter, I believe, who is maybe somewhere around a year old, maybe even a little less. So, you know, he's kind of taking care of a little one and taking care of his wife for the entire offseason. So, you know, he just kind of was telling me about what that experience was like, having to all of a sudden have to do everything his, you know, quote-unquote off time. But, you know, a lot of these guys, like I said, kind of either play some kind of winter ball or kind of could take their mind off the game in general. So still trying to figure it out and see if he actually did anything fun during the offseason.
Well, I feel like you should maybe plan some kind of, like, swamp track. I don't even know now that you know so many things about life in Florida. Just take them all on a journey. So I know it's only been a few days so far, but is anybody standing out to you in terms of how you think that they're going to be this season? Anything interesting or exciting?
You know, there's a couple of other non-roster guys that have kind of been interesting and have kind of, you know, been in most of the guys who are in coaches, the names that are in coaches' mouths early are kind of the guys you can tell right away are going to have a legit shot. And not that none of these guys, all these guys are going to have a legit shot, but these guys may be the favorites to make the roster. A guy like Joe Nathan, who is about 102 years old, 42 years old, and he's going to have a good chance to, you know, find somewhere in the bullpen if he does have something left. Vance Worley has been a guy whose name has come up. And so you may see some of these names kind of pop up in the Nats bullpen. Here this year, I think those are the two biggest guys. Steven Strasburg, who threw today and looks fine. Looks like he wasn't having any restrictions. Of course, there's the injury questions from where he came off last year. He looks like he slimmed down a little bit and threw today and looked, you know, had no restrictions. So he's a guy who you always kind of have an eye on. But like I said, still early, and the position players are kind of still rolling in. A lot of them got in earlier today, and they have to don't have to report until Friday. So you know. Like I said, still have your eyes out to see exactly, but those are the couple names that I've kind of I've noticed or have stood out so far.
Wow, I'm excited for Joe Nathan. Good for him.
Yeah, it's crazy how long he's been around, and he was kind of joking that some of the other guys are looking around him like he's the grandpa walking around. But, yeah, I mean, if he shows that he still has something in the tank here, I think he's got a good shot to factor into the team some way.
Well, that's just inspiring, I think, coming back from injuries and surgery and just getting ready to give it a shot again. So who's going to surprise us the most this year, do you think? This is where you can just make whatever predictions you want because anything could happen. You know, there's so much time. So anything can happen. I will not make fun of you if you get anything wrong. I promise.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at getting something wrong. So let me think about who can get something. You know, it's tough. I mean, Bryce can almost do nothing to surprise people at this point. I mean, I really think he's going to have a really bounce back season from where he was last year. I just don't think that we've seen too much evidence and too much that he showed us to say that he's the player that's closest to well that won the MVP than what he was for most of last season. So I mean, I'm looking for a big year from him. You know, as far as maybe surprises, I think if Joe Ross can stay healthy, he was really good at the beginning of last year and can probably all put it together. And if Sean Kelly actually ends up becoming a closer here, I think he's going to have a chance to become one of the really good recognized one of the best relief pitchers in baseball.
Whoa. Those are
some of the guys that I kind of have my eye out here early on. So it's an interesting roster just because a lot of their team is kind of set. Right now, they may have about three spots in the bullpen, one spot in the bench. And other than that, you know, everything is kind of in place. So, you know, it's going to just depend on, obviously, health, like for most teams, but also just kind of the performance of some of these veterans, like Ryan Zimmerman or Jason Worth or some of those guys going forward. But just when you think everything is set and everything is fine, that's when, of course, something's going to happen chaotic to kind of mess all that up. So,
of course. I mean, chaos.
So right now, I'm not entirely sure what that's going to be, but yeah, keep your eyes open.
All right. Well, we're all going to keep an eye on Sean Kelly. Big prediction. I like it. I like it. Bold choice.
Can't wait until May when you're like, remember you thought Sean Kelly? He's been DFA'd.
No, don't jinx him.
No, yeah, Sean Kelly.
Should we be ready for any drastic appearance changes? Are there any new hairstyles, any new beards, any like face tattoos?
A lot of these dudes have beards that didn't. Strasburg, with his beard, he has a pretty thick beard as well.
I honestly did not even think he could grow a beard.
Yeah, yeah. he had it, I believe, at NAS Winterfest, and it's pretty healthy. I wonder if he's thinking on keeping it during the season or what. I mean, he came in the spring with it, so I'm thinking he may go with it.
Wow.
Which somebody, you know, aptly named Strauss Beard, which I'm really upset that I didn't think of that first. But, yeah, I mean, he's got the beard going on. A couple of these guys, like I said, have got a little bit of some beard action, some facial hair coming in. But no one's made a huge hairstyle change just yet. Anthony Rendon has been hinting at cutting his hair for the longest, and I don't. So we walked in today, and he still had the same kind of style, but we'll see exactly what it is. The barber isn't in that part today, so we'll kind of keep our eyes out for that.
Uh-huh. All right, so we can be pretty assured that the Nats are going to look like the same old Nats, except for apparently Steven Strasbeard, which is what I will call him exclusively from now on, because I really like that. So we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. As you may or may not know, Prince Fielder is going to have his own cooking show on streaming services sometime in March. And he said that all kinds of people are going to be on it. Baseball people, musicians, other athletes, just like his friends. It seems great. So what I want to know is who from the Nats should join him on that show.
Man.
The idea being that people will cook. It seems like to us that the
cookers are here.
Yeah, you need the good cooks.
So, Bryce likes to eat. I'm not sure. You know, one of the things in different towns on the road, he'll kind of make an effort to try, you know, new or different restaurants. I'm not sure what his cooking skills necessarily are. Based off, I'm trying to think who I would peg as a good cook.
Well, maybe he could be a guest judge, because it seems like the concept of the show is that just, like, cool people come on the show, make food, and Prince Fielder just tells them which food is best.
Yeah, so. He'd be fun to just hang out and taste stuff. I don't know if he'd be any help with the actual cooking. Let me think. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe somebody like Max could make something in the kitchen.
Uh-huh. I've been told he does a pretty good jambalaya.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With Max?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there
I
we
hear
go.
It, but I don't know if it's true, obviously. You gotta find out.
Yeah, I'm pretty curious about that now, too, to see exactly what these guys get all bake. I've seen them eat enough and a lot in the clubhouse, but I'm not sure who exactly can go out and make stuff themselves. You know what? Actually, I'm taking this back. Jason Worth.
Whoa, okay.
My pick. Jason Worth, he's pretty healthy and kind of likes to, you know, prepare his own meals, and I believe he's either gluten-free or vegan or both or one of those at some point. So I think that he can make sure he can whip up something because he takes care to make sure he can get something healthy for himself. So I'm putting my money on Jason Worth.
Okay. Well, as we've determined, since we constantly talk about MLB players cooking shows on this podcast, obviously someone is listening, some kind of producer is listening. So Jason Worth needs to get on the show. This is our demand. All right, before I let you go back to spring training and your beautiful weather and having such just a great time, will the Nationals win the World Series in 2017? That's what I have to know.
Oh, man, you're going to put me on the spot here on February.
Yes, this is the time that you get to do this, though. You can, because there are no consequences. It's February. You can change it when we, you know, you can change it in May. It's fine.
Yeah, okay. Well, see, now if I say no and somebody from Nats here, they're going to be like, oh, you don't believe in us, huh? Because, you know, every team is that everybody don't believe in us. Sure, they'll win the World Series. I mean, they've got the pieces here. As I said, I think Bryce is going to have a good season, obviously, with Max and Strasburg, if those guys are healthy. Probably not a better 1-2 in the majors. So, sure, they've got the pieces. And, Danny Murphy. Yeah, the Nats will win the World Series this year if they get there.
All right. I like your confidence. And we are definitely going to have you back on at the end of October and see how it turned out. Or before that.
Yeah, I'm just wrong I was about everything.
Well, you know, we you can come back earlier and we can make fun of you for being wrong.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the Cup Forecast today. We had such a great time talking to you, or I had such a great time talking to you because the rest of the Cup Forecast is taking a nap. It was so much fun. Please come back all the time. And have a great time at spring training. Everybody, again, this is Nationals beat writer Jamal Collier, and people can follow you on Twitter at what?
At Jamal Collier. You can follow me for all the latest Nats news, random pop culture tweets, and random Angry Bulls tweets.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Chicago native, Angry Bulls fan. We are enemies because of my childhood Pistons fandom, so...
Oh, well, that's a whole different comment. That's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, you can watch us feud on Twitter about basketball and have friendly conversations about baseball. Well, thanks again, and I'll talk to
you soon.
Thanks
for having me on.
All right, guys, it is time for your favorite part of the podcast. Sum up what we just talked about in a tweet. We talked about so many things, spring training, but mostly food, so whatever you feel in your heart. Claire, I've made you go first in the past couple questions, so I'll make Ian go first for the tweet.
Great.
you can do it. I
haven't been back here in a while on the pod.
You're kind of rusty.
I might be
on the tweet.
I might be rusty.
Because Ian was in Switzerland skiing and having an amazing time.
Yeah, I've been in Switzerland for the entire 3 months I've been on the podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't invite. In a Swiss chalet.
I didn't invite all of you.
Spending his shady dark money. I don't know.
Half of that is true.
It's up to you which half, listeners. I vamped so much, you have to have a tweet now.
Okay. What am I looking forward to most this spring training? That would be... Ian Desmond's thin air cooking on Fielder's Choice.
That... does sound good. I feel like when you tweeted it, though, it had a lot of ellipses and spaces in it.
There were, I mean, I had the characters left.
All right, all right. Some
there.
Weird formatting. Claire, what about you?
Okay, let's see. What is this? Baltimore chop? Let's all eat some deep shoe fly pie out on Prince Fielder's new cooking show.
Okay, I kind of got that, but I would quote tweet it and at Ian and say, Claire stole your Baltimore chop joke from like 15
yes.
Cup Forecast.
Never forget,
ago.
I came up with that on the fly, summing up the Cup Forecast.
Well, you know, so... when you're with a genius, you steal from it. You know?
Wow.
Calamaro's genius steals.
I don't know. I mean, Ian is our boss, so I'm assuming Claire was just really, you know, leading into that there. Here's my tweet. It is a single-issue tweet. It's very important. It's dot at real P Fielder. And it just says, please let me at Ian K and at Michael Claire be on Fielder's Choice, the most exciting debut of spring training.
That's the best
yes
tweet.
Thank you, it is the greatest tweet. You're right, I'm the best Cup Forecast host.
Correct,
everyone tell Dakota. who even is that? So we hope you guys had fun listening to this episode. We had fun talking to you. You can subscribe on iTunes if you don't already subscribe, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please tell all your friends about the podcast. It's great, it's so fun, and now that I'm hosting, it's always the most delightful. Dakota will be back next week. Please feel free to tell him that I was really mean. And please leave a review. It really helps us out. And if you leave a good one or a bad one, we will read it aloud on the Cup Forecast.
If you leave enough good reviews this week, we won't let Dakota host it
anymore. I didn't say that, so. Ian, thanks for joining me.
Of course, anytime.
And Claire, thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you. And listen, let me tell you a little bit more about physical medium.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. We are getting kicked out of the studio. It's too late. You can't talk about ghosts anymore.
No.
But mostly, thank you, listeners, and we'll talk to you next week.